Hallo, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, einer weiteren Folge der Interviews for Future, dem Podcast der Scientists for Future Leipzig, heute auf Englisch. Hello, dear listeners of Scientists for Future Leipzig's podcast, Interviews for Future. This is the last podcast episode in 2022, so I will give a little introduction because there are a few thoughts about. We are shortly before Christmas. And so the idea was to make an episode that had this a bit in it, thinking about about the kids. So what's the world? What's the life they have in 20, 30 years? But these children, normally they are independent when they are adults. They are children today. They will never be independent. The disabled children's. And those are mostly forgotten. And for this, I have here Kippi to talk about. Hello, Kippi.
Hi, Dominic. Thanks for having me today.
You are very close to this topic. Can you tell a bit about?
Yes, I'm, I would say, neurotypical, as opposed to autistic or neurodiverse. I'm a mother of an autistic child. My daughter is 8 years old, autist, and this is reason why this subject also grabs me very deeply. I also have son, neurotypical son, 6 years old. So I'm kind of living both worlds or both ways of parenting.
In the pre-talk, you told a bit that at the moment, I would say, stable world we are in, it's sometimes not so easy to have a disabled children, not so easy with interacting with all these things you have to do, because the help is sometimes here and sometimes not. How have you this felt? And
this is I think it's quite a shared experience with a lot of parents of disabled persons or children. It is, you are often left quite alone to survive in a system, to find out your way in the system, to find help for your children. This was something that surprised me quite a lot when I just started my journey with ASTA. I had somehow like pre-assumption that when you are caring for somebody who especially needs help, that everything would be in place and it would be offered to me, and I would be kind of taken care of in this way. And it was I think it was kind of a very telling way how the whole thing started, was that when I got the diagnosis for my daughter, it was basically that the doctor told me that your child is autistic, and then I went home and I opened Google and I googled what is autism. So this is kind of how it has gone. There is help available, but you have to search for it. You have to be very active to look for it and find the ways to help your child.
So it's not that the doctor brings you the help, that you get the help directly. So I think about adults, they are not so able to help themselves. They are not so active.
Well, adults, they of course have gone already their way through the different systems. So there are organizations who take care of disabled people, and they offer help and so on. But I'm talking about the beginning of the journey when you are looking. It's often so that it's a lot up to the parent how much help they find and they get and how active they are. And I think this is a lot to do with bureaucracy and how German system has been built, that you need to be able to navigate the system and find your way in it. And a lot of people who come from, for instance, different countries or move to Germany, they have extreme difficulty finding their way here. I, for luck, have a German-speaking dad for my daughter, and was able myself to have the strength and energy to look for help.
Climate crisis is a crisis that will come up more and more and more. Let's come first to these crises we still have or had. Corona, I want to talk a bit about. How was this? So, got you enough help?
There has been also the Deutsche Institut für Menschenrechte. They made a study about this, how disabled people got help during the corona. And I kind of personally lived it, so I agree with it very strongly. There was everything came very, very delayed. It's somehow, first, corona was, of course, shock to the system for everybody. They had to make new ways to offer help. But it was somehow this group was very forgotten and left behind. It was sort of like an afterthought. You already had people, kitas and schools working for typical children. And then we were 6 months at home locked in for health reasons without much help from anybody in this situation. And we were trying to ask for help from here and there and financial aid because we were not able to work, for testing help so that our children would have play dates with other children, for instance. But there was this inflexibility about this. And also you could also see that for these kind of crisis situations, disabled people were not really thought about. So it came extremely, extremely late. Mostly the help came from individuals, I can say. Kita teacher thinking for solution were such places, yeah.
So your personal networks were the important part of helping you.
Yes, one big part, and I think this hit largely the disabled community, is that all the therapies ended, for instance. So a lot of children, disabled children, were left out of their therapies, and this, of course, had a very huge effect on their mental health. And also the mental health of the caregivers, you have to think of this, because then they were left home isolated with their children without able to take breaks, and also often having to offer these therapies themselves to their children.
If you see this and you think maybe in the future, are you a bit afraid that this will happen again, so that disabled people, children and adults for sure, will be fall behind? Or
yes, I am very afraid of this. I think this is quite a probable view that this will happen, because you can see there are climate plans made by different nations, but how many of those mention disabled people is almost scary. Right now in the Paris Agreement, 35 out of 192 countries even mention disabled people in the climate plans. So this comes to tell you that these things could be already taken into consideration in advance. They could be planned. You could make thoughts about how these things are organized. But right now, there's not enough noise being made so that this would be taken into these kind of considerations.
If you remember a heat wave this year, maybe, so is there something you would say disabled are more or different affected from those physical impacts?
Sure. If you think about somebody in a wheelchair, for instance, they are not necessarily able to move away from where they are. Then there's some hidden disabilities that you wouldn't maybe necessarily think about, like somebody who has schizophrenia. They have medication that makes them especially vulnerable for heat waves, and their immortality can go up to 50% from a heat wave, during the heat wave, compared to the other people. So these are real effects that hit this vulnerable group very hard.
As you said in the beginning, there are some groups, some NGOs, and so they take care about disabled people. You are here and there in contact with those.
Yes.
This theme of climate change and these problems, Is this in the heads there, or?
This discussion I have not been hearing so much, actually. I would wish it was more discussed. But I have to also say here that I somehow hope that similarly what has happened a little bit in the maybe in a feminism discussion, that feminists have woken up that this is not only an issue for white women, but we have to take different kind of communities into consideration. I would somehow love that the same would happen, for instance, in the parent groups and parent organizations, realizing that these children are the vulnerable group within the group of children, and that it would not be only the organizations for disabled people talking about this issue, but it would be brought up and talked about wider. One reason for this is also that the parents of disabled children are often really overworked. It's very hard to find people who have time and energy and capability to do volunteering or to talk out loud about these issues, because all the strength goes for the caretaking.
So as an example, you have an 8-year-old daughter, but you can't say to your daughter, okay, daughter, I have to make a flyer for a parents' event, so play with your toys the next 2 hours.
Exactly. Dominic, right now, if my daughter calls me from the other room, we're going to interrupt the interview.
Let's come to something different. Another view in future is that one of the most affected people of climate change, that's climate justice is a great word for looking on this, are the refugees. They are disabled refugees too, for sure.
Yeah.
What's about this people?
Yeah, this is something that it will be coming in the future, and it is going to be a surprisingly big issue, something that I think will grab us all by surprise. There was an estimation of 200 million climate refugees by 2050. And if we think that the 15% of population on Earth are disabled in one way or another, physical or intellectually, that would mean 30 million people by 2050 who are climate refugees. And these people need really special help and a plan, because otherwise it will be quite a disastrous situation. But we can take for that maybe as an example what is happening right now in Ukraine, because there are coming people from Ukraine also to Germany, and of course that includes some disabled people too.
Yes, please.
Yeah. This from Ukraine, we already know that the disabled people were not taken into part as the escape plans or the routes how they come here. They would need often special transportation if they are in wheelchairs. And the problem with people who are not mobile is that they get easily trapped in their flats. For instance, if some city gets bombed, they are not able to move. They are not necessarily able to go to the bomb shelves, use the metro to move from place to place. Then there's people who are blind or deaf. They can't hear, for instance, the warning systems. So all these are something that I would think in a national level, not only thinking of Ukraine, but thinking about Germany, thinking any European country, there should be some kind of plan how these kind of situations could be made accessible, and how can you secure people if they need to flee or if they need to go to bomb shelter, whatever the situation is in this kind of if they are disabled, how we can keep these people safe.
Yeah, or similar, how can we bring them from the roof floor in a heat wave, or yes, or from the ground floor in a flood.
Exactly.
And it don't has to be a bomb always.
Exactly. I have a good friend, she's a doctor, who decided because she had an extra room in her flat that she wanted to take a refugee from Ukraine to stay in her house. And she found through this network, I can help. She wanted to find something quick and easy because otherwise it was very bureaucratic. And she was contacted by this woman who said, yes, I have a four-year-old son. I am nearby. I need home. I'm at the bus stop. Can you get me? And it really went fast like this. She told me the story just recently. And the husband of my friend just drove there and they met. And it came out that the son is autistic. And she had been hiding this because she was afraid that she will not get help if she tells her true situation. They took the child in. It took half an hour only to get her.
Let me go in between for a moment. This that she was shy to tell that she has an autistic child. Yes. Is it something you see here in Germany too, that people are maybe afraid or shy to tell the world or tell people they have disabled children, maybe connected by, as you told before, you don't have the time to do many things. You don't have the time to engage you. And maybe you are ashamed to engage you too, because you come visible.
Yes, this is extremely sad, I must say. But yes, because there is a lot of judgment towards disabled people, maybe especially intellectually disabled, because there's a lot of judgment and not understanding. People are afraid of different. They often don't know how to react when they encounter somebody who behaves in a way they are not used to. And then sometimes the parents have a hard time dealing with this. So I also know parents who do not want to go in public spaces with their children because they might make sounds or have behaviors that the parents feel that it's too much for them to encounter the judgment of the other people. This is really sad for me.
Let's come back to the story.
Okay.
Of your friend. It was only because it's maybe some point that presses down the engagement of people.
Yes, for sure. The family, they merged. They took the mother and the child in. And as she was a doctor, she was very well connected, so she could help her. So you can imagine that this was, for their point of view, the ideal situation. They came here, they found somebody who was really friendly, loving, had a good space for them, had gave them all the help during the bureaucratic work, did some... asked for furniture and resources from their friend. What happened was this child started to run away and wasn't eating. Autists often need very strict routines, and you can imagine how it is for a child like this to leave a country and come to another place. So the mother was 24/7 occupied taking care of him, so that the family who hosted my friend's family were taking care of everything for them. But in the end, what happened was that she was basically burnt out. She got an apartment which was furnished. And she was locked in this apartment 24/7 with her child. She was not speaking German. She wanted to learn German, but she was not able to take advantage of anything that was offered to her because she had to take care of her child. It was a cycle which was very difficult, and which ended in, because her mother was not able to come to Germany, she left back to Kiev. And I talked with my friend about this, and I asked, what does she think? What was the reason for this? Because in a way, it was she was talking about it. It was her individual effort to make it easy for her. And she said that basically bureaucracy, every single step for her to stay here was made so difficult and so hard work that in the end she was burnt out under the whole stress situation of coming here. So this was kind of a very sad thing to understand, but I immediately realized or understood why, because I have myself gone through the whole bureaucratic thing, and we were brainstorming there that what would help, for instance, here is that you would need a disabled status for refugees, which would mean that they would have better immediate help for the child, for instance, that you could easier get to healthcare system, that you don't have to necessarily wait for, like, you can get appointments instead of waiting in lines. Imagine waiting in lines with a child who has ADHD and is needs to run all the time, you know, these kind of things. So it comes down to how to accommodate people who are not able to navigate our system.
And now they are back in Kiev, where they have energy or sometimes not, and yes, some bombs come down.
Yes, they are in contact constantly, and they are also, they have the possibility of coming back if they are able to organize it here at some point.
Let's come to the future.
Yes.
That's the climate change. And have you had, how was it with for you and your daughter, the 2022 heat waves?
For us, it was fortunately quite easy because we live in an apartment that is quite cool. So we could take refuge in our apartment. So we didn't suffer for this so badly as you could imagine.
If you look in the future, maybe you have more pressure on the streets, you have more refugees, you have more crazy people, because we see it everywhere. If there comes crisis and it's not ending, the people go a bit crazy. And what do you think it's for your daughter to be on the street out for? Maybe only you go together to pick up some food and meet some friend.
Yes. My daughter is one of those who she makes happy sounds, which are not usual sounds. She likes to, she's very happy child, very lovely. But this is something unusual for people. So we attract attention. And we sometimes also attract attention in people want to correct us, or they look us what is going on here, and sometimes you get people who are ignorant and react badly. But I have come up with a solution that if I notice that somebody does this, I start to make the stupid noise with my child, because I don't want her to feel that she's alone. So I can say that I have grown really thick skin by now. To reaction of outer world, I'm thinking of world through her eyes, and I try to make it nice for her. Let's put it like that. Yes.
What's your thinking? If you look in far future, as told in the beginning, when children go adults and go be independent, but yours not. So you will all your life you will be a helper for your daughter.
This is, of course, we are doing everything we can to help her be as independent as possible. And I also don't want to, I don't know what her capabilities will be in the future, but it's very likely that she will need assistance and help. Always, we hope that there's possibility of organizing assisted living situation if that is something that she would like. And I think that the pressure for parents with disabled children to organize the future of their children, it is really much bigger than typically for parents. We have to think a lot about financial future how we can, because to be very honest, I do not trust the future so much in this way. So I feel like I want to take these matters into my own hand and make it as safe as possible. So it does differ a lot from parenting a typical child in this way.
And networks, so adult parents networks, in what way ever? So you're still connecting or?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I have a big group of parents, especially with autistic children, but others too. And we exchange regular. And I have to say, this was really funny during the corona. You should have seen the parent groups of autistic children and what kind of black humor we had there. Because a lot of parents felt that the rest of the world had a glimpse of our everyday. How it is to be locked inside, and yeah, so it was actually sometimes kind of funny.
In the end, it's good if you can help yourself, if you have a network, but for sure it would be a big effect to have a clearly spot on those problems by state, by society.
Yes.
What's about the idea to have a demo only parents of disabled people?
Yeah, I would be at the front of it. I love the idea.
Okay, so
I love the idea.
If,
yes.
If someone loves it too, can connect these podcasts, and I give your address, your phone number, or like this.
Yes, please. But I would also call all the other parents to come and join us there.
Okay, so the disabled in front, and
yes.
All others.
Please.
Okay, maybe. So it's a Christmas wish, maybe.
Yes.
So let's maybe one thing. It's not about climate change, about this many, many problems. And for sure, I think it's clear that it's not so nice to have these sorrows. But is there something maybe, especially you've learned from your daughter, you would say, okay, this you learn from disabled children?
This is thank you. Really nice question, actually, because I am often saddened how disabled children are seen as problems and tragedies. For me, it started like this because I was told that that's what it is, and then I got to know my daughter, and I found out all the beautiful things about her. She is somebody who, for instance, has amazing sensitivity about other people, and how she just senses the moods and feelings and can attune to it. So there's in her nonverbality, there's also nonverbal communication, which is out of this world sensitive and beautiful. And I can imagine that every disabled child, they are personalities, they are individuals, they have a lot to give to this world. It's just that I think we have to be able to tune to them and see what they have to offer. If we see them as problems, they will not, and treat them as problems, that's what they will be. But we don't, let's not do this, because these individuals have really quite a lot to offer to us.
Yeah, a baby is a problem too, if you want to see it like a problem, because you only have to take care.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
No one would come to the idea to say, oh, a baby is a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Kippi, if you have something else you want to bring into the crowd, so let's give you a last open slot like this.
I thank you for the discussion. I think we hit a really good point. For me, this is really like I wish for this kind of planning in advance to take care of, like, this is the group of people who are really the most fragile and who need our protection. We need other people also to acknowledge that they need protection from us, and I wish that this will be taken into account in the future planning. I hope that this discussion will reach some ears and maybe have some effect on this.
Yes, hopefully. Then thank you for the interview.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.